Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 16. Luke, chapter 16, as you know, we've been in the book of Luke now for over a year, probably over a year and a half, and we're just continuing to move along. The rich man and Lazarus, it's a well-known story. And the difficult part is preaching this sermon. This account was given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ and has been often debated as it being a parable or not being a parable. People are not usually named in parables, and yet we're going to find here that there are two men. There is the unnamed rich man, and I find it interesting that the rich man is not named. And there is the beggar, and we have his name, that of Lazarus. And make sure you realize that this Lazarus is not the brother of Mary and Martha. But we find two people, and usually it's the rich man, we know of his name, and not the poor man. But in this story, we hear the name of the poor man. And the Lord knows why he did not give us the rich man's name. But Lazarus, we have his name, he was a beggar. And may I say this to you that know Christ as your Savior, you'll get to meet him someday. And wouldn't that be interesting to be able to? And I wonder if in heaven we'll wear name tags. Or if by chance we just all will know each other. I don't know. But we find here that there's a rich man and there's a poor man. How does one preach this account? How does one get across the reality of hell and its torments to the unsaved? A place of eternal punishment, fire, and darkness. To be separated from the God who created us for all eternity. Romans 8:26 and 27 says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So on my behalf the Spirit is moving. And then I've been praying, Lord, please give me the words and the ability to take this lesson and to show it clearly." 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, the second part says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." We learned from Dennis Smith that his nephew Vaughn, 44 years old. I remember when I thought 44 was old. The other day I was reading in the source about a woman. She was 60 years old and some people broke into her house and they bound her and ransacked the house and they left. And I thought, 60 years old, that boy, you know, at that age you have to be so careful. And then it suddenly dawned on me, my age. What a scary thought. John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." It's very important that the Christ of Christmas that we celebrate and that we believe in is also the same Christ of Resurrection Sunday, who was born to die as our vicarious sacrifice. And we should thank the Lord that he was willing to do that for us. Would you please stand with us as we read from the book of Luke, chapter 16, verse 19. Luke 16, verse 19, and if you are able, please stand. If not, we can do understand that. But verse 19, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Dear Heavenly Father, we come again asking, Lord, that you would touch hearts. May the Spirit move. Lord, may we see positive things accomplished this day in your house for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and again, Lord, with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The 16th chapter of Luke begins with the parable of the unjust steward who saves his job by his own wits and ends with the rich man in the torments of hell. And this rich man wants Abraham to send a witness to his five brothers who are in need of salvation. How sad it is that the rich generally only see their physical wealth, but not their spiritual poverty. Maybe that best describes our great country. We see our great wealth, but are ignorant of our spiritual needs. May I say this once again, that the problem with America is not the economy. It's our morality. It's not the fact that we need more money for education. It's that we need the education of the Word of God. And we have ignored what made our country great. And even having a president today who says we're no longer a Christian nation, that should scare us. What will be our future when we ignore our true need? Thus we become like the people of Jeremiah's day, immoral, idolatrous, and ignorant of a coming judgment of God. But we find in verse 19, a certain rich man. Now maybe you know a rich person. Neighbor across the street from us talks about one of his wife's relatives whose house is so big that if you wanted to hide yourself in it, it would be very easy. Multiple acres and wealth beyond imagination. This rich man was clothed in purple. I thought about wearing my purple shirt and tie today, but I wore that last week. That would be as close as I would be to being a rich man. But he was clothed in purple and fine linen. He fared sumptuously. That means impressive, lavish, luxurious, extravagant. I wonder if he had pizza every day. I wonder if he had prime rib. That sounds good. I tell you what. You know, lasagna with lots of cheese. I wonder what he had. Every day. Not just once in a while. I get biscuits when we have company. Once in a while. But I bet you he had biscuits every day. I bet you he had scrambled eggs in the morning, probably with some Swiss cheese mixed in with it. I tell you what, every day a man may have a beautiful appearance in the sight of men and yet be utterly corrupt in the sight of God. I'm amazed that on television they'll show you these Hollywood stars on the red carpet, and they look so luxurious, and we make such a fuss over them, but what are their spiritual conditions? If you were to go up and ask them, what must I do to be saved, would they be able to even comprehend the question, let alone give you an answer? See, it doesn't matter what we look on the outside. How is our inside, spiritually speaking? By comparison, we find in verses 20 and 21, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. And he had been laid at the gate of the rich man. I don't know if that means that they would come and get him at night and take him home, or if he laid there all the time. But he was outside of the gate of this home of this rich man who fared sumptuously. How often? Every day. And the beggar was full of sores. Now, it doesn't mean he was unclean. It just means that he was full of sores. He not only was hungry, but physically he was not quite right. You know, begging is found many times in the New Testament. It's mentioned of people that were forced by illness or disability to beg for their lives. The man born blind in John 8 and the lame man of Acts chapter 3 are just two that are found. In the first century and in rabbinical Judaism, giving to the destitute was considered a great good deed. Now, that sounds an interesting way of saying that. It was a good deed, but it was a great good deed to give to those who were in need. It was praiseworthy, even in God's eyes. Matthew 6:2, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, or giving to those in need, do not sound a trumpet. You're to do it quietly. But you are to give to those in need. Note, a man may be poor and loathsome in the eyes of his neighbor, and yet be rich and beautiful in the sight of God. You know, the outward appearance appeals to us. But may I say this, God looks on the inside. This poor man, Lazarus, was so poor that he desired to be fed with just the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. At our house, I want to be careful how I say this, because if I say our dogs, you all come up and say, well, you really do love the dogs. So I want to say at our house, there are three dogs that she loves who love it when the grandkids come. Now you say, well, why do they love it when the grandkids come? Because grandkids do what? They drop food on the floor. Yes, and they love it. Man, they are vacuum cleaners for whatever's dropped. In this case, this poor man wanted what was simply dropped from the poor man's table. I mean, in your mind's eye, here is this man that is so rich that he doesn't mind if he drops things on the floor. And there's a man that is so poor that that's what he is willing to eat. Would you be willing to eat that? Now, we have a grandson who says this, if it doesn't stay on the floor for more than 5 seconds, you can pick it up and eat it. Does anybody else have go by that rule? He does. 5 seconds. And I guarantee you, if he drops it, it's back up in faster than 5 seconds. May I say right here and now that the rich man does not go to hell because he was rich. Okay? That's not why he goes to hell. And the poor man doesn't go to paradise or Abraham's bosom because he was poor. The Bible tells us that God loves a cheerful giver, and I thank God for men and women who are rich who give to the Lord. And down through the years, there have been hundreds and thousands of rich men who gave to the cause of Christ. Say this, the place we will spend eternity is based on our relationship with Jesus Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Savior of our souls. Verse 22, let's read it. And it came to pass, Agatha Christie has a book that says, Death Comes at the End. And it came to pass that the beggar died. We're not told his age. We're not told if he had any family. We're not told who he really was, other than he was a beggar. But he died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, a place of blessings. We find a man may have but the burial of a dog and yet be attended by the angels of God. May I say this? God looks on the inside. What does he see when he looks on your inside? When he sees your heart, what does he see? One poet has written concerning the death of the poor, they rattle his bones over the stones. He is only a pauper who nobody owns. And may I say this? You may know someone who is poor. You may know someone who is poor. The poor were often buried with the refuge of the city in the valley of Gehenna, just outside of Jerusalem, where the fires continually burned. Abraham's bosom was a place of honor to sit and to lay upon the breast of the host of a party was an honor. And here we find that Lazarus was taken to Abraham's bosom. And it came to pass, and the rich man also died and was buried. Lazarus apparently wasn't buried. He was just taken out to the valley of Gehenna and thrown out with the trash. But the rich man was buried. Note, a man may have a pompous funeral and at the same time be a miserable soul. Well, we may have much in modern day America. We may have a television that has 700 TV stations. We may get every football game available. We may be having season tickets to the Red Wings. We may be excited about the Tigers. I understand they're in first place, Judy. All right, they're in first place. And you may already have your playoff tickets. You may have the finest apparel that can be had. You may have a really nice car or two or seven and a 10-car garage. But if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have anything. If you don't have the Savior that came to die for you and you have rejected Him and you have everything else, you have nothing. You have nothing. Verse 22, and it came to pass that if the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, the rich man also died and was buried and in hell. He was not in hell because he was rich. Even though the Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil, that is not while he was in hell. But we find, it says here, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. The rich man has now become a what? A beggar. The rich man is now a beggar. He says, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. The rich man. Read verses 13 and 14 with me, if you would, please. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And verse 14 says, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. I wonder if that's why he does not now tell this story. He knew the hearts of the Pharisees that they were covetous, and now he tells the story of this rich man who has died and gone to hell. They believed if you were rich, God really loved you. But see, they had the wrong idea of money and of riches. Lawrence O. Richard comments on life after death, saying, "Not life, but alive." The rich man is pictured here as self-conscious. He was aware of what was about him. He was able to see and know who Abraham was and that Lazarus was there. He was able to feel, for he was in pain. He was able to remember both his past life and he remembered his family. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. One has broached the thought that space is hell. It is the bottomless pit, a constant falling and burning and darkness and loneliness. I'm not going to say that's where hell is, but there is a bottomless pit and there is a place of fire. Note, a man may have abundance in this world's goods and yet come in the world to come, he may be utterly destitute of mercy. See, what happens here is for a short time, but the next life is for all eternity. Let's read now verses 25 through 31. But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Then he said, "I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." May I say this, that anyone who has died, if they could come back and just say a couple of words to you, would be this: trust God. Trust Jesus. Those who die without Christ, if they could come back and give you just a couple of words, would be trust Christ. That's all they would say. That's all they would want to say to you. They would become the greatest preachers because you would see in their face and attitude how important it is to trust Christ. Lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Note, if a man neglect his opportunities in this life, in the life to come, he will have good cause to remember his folly. He will remember a wasted lifetime in the midst of many good things. He will be remorseful for a lifetime spent in search of pleasures and good times instead of seeking to prepare himself for eternity. And though saints and sinners today mingle together, there will come a time in which there will be separation. And the gulf is fixed. And no prayers for the lost can avail anything. You cannot pray someone out of hell. Once they have gone there, they'll be there for eternity. Though the former rich man was now become concerned for his brothers, there is nothing that he can do to save them. It's not enough to be earnest when the day of grace is past. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And this is the word people love to hear in a sermon, in conclusion. Those who will not hear and believe the word of God shall perish without remedy. The rich man, now a poor soul, begs that one will rise from the dead and go tell his brothers of their need to get things right with God. But we find that he's told they have Moses and the prophets, they had the scriptures, just as we have today, and many people today reject the Word of God. They pick and choose what they want to hear. Lazarus rose from the dead, the brother of Mary and Martha, and they wanted to kill him. I read to you from the book of Romans, chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Shall we stand together? Many in America today have become vain, and their foolish hearts have been darkened, and God shall give them up. But may I say this, as long as you have breath in your body, you can accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. As long as you have your feet here still in earth with life, you can still accept him as your Lord and Savior. But may I say this, those men that flew the planes into the Twin Towers 13 years ago, before the planes hit the ground, they knew they were wrong. They knew that there was a God, and it wasn't through the teachings of Islam. See, there is a God, and he has a way, and that way is Jesus Christ, and there is no other way. May I say this, any rich person you know, any someone who works in the sports field or is entertainment, who have all the pleasures of society, and they die within moments, they know what's truth. The Bible tells us, today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Have you ever accepted the Lord as your Savior? Don't let pride or knowledge get in the way of getting things right. 395 is our song. There's a great day coming. It's a great day for them that know Jesus Christ as Savior. But for those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, it's a sad day. Only you know what you've done with Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this invitation time. And Lord, we pray that the Spirit moves and hearts will be touched. And Lord, we pray that souls could be saved even today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.